Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, February 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. Space, war, and show business are among the topics found in this year's Oscar nominees for Best Picture. Icon Meryl Streep is joined by Natalie Portman, Emma Stone, and others in the lead actress category. Denzel Washington, Ryan Gosling, and Casey Affleck are among those competing for the lead actor prize. The Oscars will be awarded this Sunday, and today we have film educators and writers Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg in studio to share their picks and address your questions and comments on the nominees, performances, or films you may think have been overlooked. To join our conversation, you can call 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You ready for your close-up, Mr. DeMille? The show begins after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. One of the most exciting nights in cinema is upon us once again. This Sunday, the American Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will present the 89th Academy Awards. Oh, the glitter, the glamour. The Oscar field this year includes stories about war, the role of women in America's space program, aliens, show business, and family. Joining us today to give their take on the nominees and field your calls are Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg. Rob and Audrey have co-authored several entertainment biographies, taught numerous film classes, and as regular commentators are regarded here at WAMC as the premier couple of cinematic criticism and analysis. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I'm thrilled.
Rob and Audrey, welcome back. Nice to have your eminences here today. What's your take on the films at home and your performers nominated this year? The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. We do this show every year. It's always fun, so I suggest you get in early. Rob and Audrey, if you had to rate from 1 to 10 this year's crop of films as a whole, give me a number.
Well, okay, here we go. You could talk about the glitter and the glamour, but for me, we're talking about politics, and there's so much to say. For example, one of the best foreign film nominees is The Salesman. It's an Iranian film.
Hang on. You didn't answer my question.
What?
Taken as a whole, was this a good year for movies? Or a bumper crop? Or the fallow field? How would you rate it as 1 to 10?
Well, I would probably say 8 or 9.
So it was good?
Yeah. I would say there were so many really fine films. It's the content that fascinates me. Every year there are always dreadful films, but that goes back as far as you can go back. This past year there were some wonderful films. There even were some films that didn't get Best Picture nominations, like Jackie is one that comes to mind, that could have been on there. There are 9. There easily could have been 4 or 5 more. That's what I would say.
Can we get a little Audrey talk, too?
Sure, she could talk.
So what do you think, Audrey, about my initial question?
Yes, well, I think it was a very good year for film. I think that a lot of students of film who went through production programs are now out working, making feature films of a great amount of budgets, and so people know how to make movies. I think what makes this a particularly good year is that some of the younger directors in their 30s, have discovered style.
Does it take a while to get style? You can get the mechanics, but do you have to grow a bit to get the style?
You have to grow a bit to get a good style. You could start looking at style when you're 20 years old, but your style probably is not going to be very effective.
Are there any exceptions to that? Are there any directors who hit the ground running and you said, oh, look at that first film from X?
You can go all the way back to Tarantino, as far as I'm concerned. But you mentioned that. I would mention very briefly Barry Jenkins. My favorite film from last year is Moonlight. Now, I can see a film and like it, and it'll be on my mind for a couple of days. His film was in my gut for weeks afterwards. Moonlight, to me, it's a work of art. It's poetry. The film that he did previously, which came out 7-8 years ago, you can see it on Netflix. Audrey, what's the title?
Yeah, Medicine for Melancholy.
Yeah, you could see that a lot of his basics are there, but there are errors. There are he needed really to grow, and I think in the 7 years between that film and the latest film, I think he did grow. He
made what a growth have film. You seen? Specifically, what growth have we seen?
It's just the way he develops his characters, the way where he places his camera. There's a sense of poetry in this film, in Moonlight, that's really very unusual and very special. And as I say, this film was on my mind for weeks after I saw it, which is very unusual for any time period.
A lot of times in a first film, a director will tell a good story, have good ideas, but not really. As an audience member, I don't get a sense of authority over that film. And with Medicine for Melancholy, that was the problem for me. It told an interesting story. It was decently acted. But there wasn't a sense of a godlike authority putting together a work of art, whereas in his later film, in Moonlight, I got a consistent look at people. Now, I'm not a big fan of Moonlight.
I love a good argument between you two. We'll get to that in a bit.
You should hear us.
Oh, this will be fun.
Particularly right after we see a film when we're driving home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
lots of
Moonlight didn't touch me, but I have to say that I knew I was watching a well-crafted film, and that's what I mean by a sense of authority. There was a beautiful sense of a godlike structure.
And do you need that?
In an outstanding film, I do. Hmm. Not in a typical by-the-numbers storytelling film. Frankly, Here's a by-the-numbers storytelling film, Manchester.
Oh,
By the Sea.
Are you going to rip that?
I'm not going to rip it a lot because too many people that I know have raved about it to me. So it obviously is touching a lot of people. So I'll be careful what I say.
Well, no, feel free. No, this is what we're here for. Let me give you the number here, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551.
Did you have some comments about Michelle Williams' performance in that film?
I've forgotten her in the film. I don't know what scene. I can picture a scene between Casey Affleck and Michelle Williams, but I couldn't tell you what they said. Where does this come from? How does she get a nomination for that role?
Oh, I'll tell you what. Let's take a call, and then we'll get after the first break. We'll get to some of your picks, and then it's off to the races. Let's go to Connie in Albany. Connie.
Hi. I hate to say all the same things that have just been said about Moonlight, but. Moonlight, and I walked out of that theater, and I was like, wow, that was a waste of money.
Wow.
And that movie followed me home. It followed me all around. I couldn't get it out of my head. Had to see it again.
Huh.
It was so good.
Yeah.
On so many levels, and I think I think they will be robbing Mahershala Ali. Is that his name, Mahershala Ali?
Mahershala.
Mahershala.
Yes.
Mahershala.
If he doesn't get the Academy Award, I don't know who would.
So, in other words, Connie, you went to the film, and much like Audrey, you came away from the theater saying, bleh. But unlike Audrey, it had an effect on you, and you went back and saw it again.
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. It's like the Stockholm Syndrome. Good job. You see it a few times, and you're into it. Hey, Connie, thanks a lot for that. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. All right, so do we want to go to the best pictures first, or do we want to go with the lesser awards
first?
Well,
let's go to the top first, to the best pictures, because that way we've established where we are.
All right, there are 9 nominees this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, and so we have Arrival, we have Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, a lighthearted film there, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. We'll let Audrey go first. Best picture.
Okay, best picture will be La La Land. Best picture that I would vote for, Hidden Figures.
But you don't think it'll win?
It might. No. but I have a feeling La La Land's going to capture most of the evening's
La La Land has
awards.
14 nominations, which is tied for the best ever, the most ever. I think that film is going to rack it all up. My favorite film would be, guess what, Moonlight. That would be my pick.
But you don't think that will win?
Unfortunately, no. Okay. But it's my own personal favorite. I mean, every one of the films, the 9 films, I think are quite good to very good to extraordinary. And again, there are some titles on here, like Jackie comes to mind, that aren't even listed in the Best Picture category.
And I think I asked this in years past. There is a limit to the number of Best Picture nominees.
Yes, I think it's 10.
In recent years, it's 10, yeah. Yeah.
And getting back to my initial question about the rating this year's crop of films, what was the best crop? What year did you go to the Oscars saying, oh my God, this is the most amazing embarrassment of riches I've ever seen?
Well, I wasn't born.
I was just going to say, I would go to 1939, which is a little bit before.
So that
my
was
time.
What? Gone with the Wind and.
The Wizard of Oz, Goodbye, Mr. Chips, so many extraordinary films that year.
Yeah, that's my year, too. Yeah. In fact, books have been written about the 1939 crop. So nobody's going to beat that.
Yeah. But see, I got to make this point about politics. And to me, this is way more important than who's going to win for Best Actor, who's going to win for Best Picture. This year, you have an Iranian film, The Salesman, one of the best foreign film nominees. Now, the filmmaker, Asghar Farhadi, check this out this morning. Even if the rules were changed to allow him into the U.S., he has chosen not to come. How is this going to impact Sunday night? Is anybody going to have comments about this?
Oh, you think in Hollywood there won't be comments?
Oh, positive. Well, I'll tell you. I think that the best actress is going to be Emma Stone. She's this year's version of Jennifer Lawrence. But if somehow Meryl Streep were to win, we have this allegedly overrated actress. I would love to hear what she would say in her speech.
All right, we have to take a break here. Rob Edelman, Audrey Kupferberg are our guests. We talk Oscars every year at this time, and today's the day. 800-348-2551, the number. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. The Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz presents The Shadow of a Gunman, a comic tragedy from Sean O'Casey's Dublin Trilogy, March 2nd through 12th, Parker Theater, newpaltz.edu/theater. Saratoga Jewish Community Arts, presenting The Other Son, a young Israeli discovers he was switched at birth with the son of a Palestinian family, March 19th, 7 p.m. at Temple Sinai, 518-584-8730 for reservations. The 1850 House and Tavern, offering their romance package featuring champagne and chocolate, the1850house.com or 845-658-7800 for details. And Nine Pin Cider, Albany, hard cider made from local apples, tasting room featuring New York cider, beer, wine, and spirits, Wednesday through Sunday. Be revolutionary, consider the apple. NinePinCider.com.
Hey everyone, my name is Patrick Garrett, and I think this year's Best Picture should go to the Best Picture, and that's Hidden Figures. But this year, I think Manchester by the Sea might pull it out in the end. Who knows, maybe it'll go to La La Land, just like it did at the Golden Globes.
This is Ian Pickus. My favorite Best Picture nominee is Hell or High Water, which has no chance of winning. So I'm pulling for Moonlight to win Best Picture, which I bet will lose to La La Land. City of Stars indeed.
Hi, this is Sarah LaDuke. I'm hoping that Best Picture statuette goes to Moonlight. I think La La Land will win, but I'm Team Moonlight all the way. And I'm pulling for How Far I'll Go from Moana to win Best Original Song.
This is Paul Tuthill in WAMC's Pioneer Valley News Bureau. Of the Best Picture nominees I saw, I think the one most deserving of the Oscar is Manchester by the Sea. I think the winner will likely be La La Land, a movie I was not overly impressed with.
Zach Malloy here from Master Control. My prediction is that the Best Picture award will go to La La Land, but let's be honest, we all know it should go to Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
And thanks for that, Zach. We appreciate it. You know, Tuthill sounds very authoritative. I don't want to argue with him about any of this stuff.
I hope he realizes Rogue One didn't even get a nomination for Best Picture.
Nor did Shin Godzilla. I mean, possibly the greatest movie ever made. Our number here is 800-348-2551, and we'll get back to the phones in a minute. But Audrey, you wanted to talk briefly about up-and-coming directors.
Yes, as opposed to old
going directors. Down directors.
Yes. Damien Chazelle and Barry Jenkins are just two of the 30-somethings who are showing great ability, no longer great promise, great ability, great talent, and energy in their films that matches the energy of our world. But this year I was struck by a number of films by the oldsters, and I'm an oldster, so
No, you're not.
Well, I know when to retire, but some people don't. And among those people who might want to think about retirement are Clint Eastwood, Warren Beatty, Woody Allen, Martin Scorsese.
Ouch.
You know, these guys are getting up there, and if you look at the lack of energy, Woody Allen put out a pretty good film this year, but the lack of energy in Scorsese and Warren Beatty and Clint Eastwood, I don't know.
Audrey, Eastwood is 86. I think up there, I would say.
I'm saying.
Okay,
know?
So it's time to go to the dog track for all of them, eh?
That's right.
All right, splendid. Back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Paul in Altamont. Paul, you're on.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the opportunity. I have several comments. I just thought it was a great year for movies. I'll keep them moving quick and with respect to everybody else on the line.
All right.
I would love to hear what you have to say about Captain Fantastic. I thought it was one of the best and most underrated movies. I don't know why. I don't think it's up for Best Picture.
Well, Viggo Mortensen is nominated for Best Actor. I can say that much. It's not up for Best Picture.
And I thought he did a great job. Arrival was amazing. It was just a whole nother plane, if anyone hasn't seen it. I just thought it was fabulous. Manchester by the Sea, just two more quick comments. Manchester by the Sea, I agree with Audrey about Michelle Williams. I don't know why. I love her as an actor. I just don't know why she was hardly in the movie. also that it's always the first thing everyone says is that it was so sad. It's so sad. And we actually found the South Boston banter very funny. Like sometimes laugh out loud funny. But I guess my last comment, and I'll close it up here, is that La La Land, I've never seen a movie like this. And to quote my 22-year-old daughter, it brought you through every range of human emotions. And I just thought I've never seen the movie, the cinematography, the screenplay. I just thought it was totally amazing. And I'm not usually one for musicals, and I thought it was great. I'll leave it at that.
Well, thank you, Paul. We appreciate it.
One film that I would recommend, getting back to Woody Allen, Everyone Says I Love You. Now, he didn't make this film last year. This film is quite a few years, but it's a musical, and it has some of the same really wonderful special effects in it that we have in La La Land. So if you like La La Land, definitely go to the video store or wherever you get your videos from and check out that Woody Allen film.
Everyone Says
I Love You.
Did you both like La La Land?
I loved it.
No, I have a different opinion about La La Land.
I love it. Let's hear it.
Beautifully produced film. But Barry Jenkins is, Damien Chazelle is obsessed with obsession. If you look at his previous film, Whiplash, it's all about obsession.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at La La Land, it's all about obsession.
Why is that a bad thing?
There's a certain point in the film where you realize that Ryan Gosling's character is obsessed with his music. There's a famous moment in La La Land where Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling walk past each other, and she goes to speak with him, and he doesn't even see her. And that's a very symbolic moment. He will not see anything except his music. She's obsessed with her career. And it all comes to a point where I lose the film. The film is lost to me because I'm used to musicals or love stories that culminate in the couple coming together.
Right.
And love conquers all. And it doesn't in La La Land. It breaks. And all that comes out of the end of the film is her obsession with career. Her marriage is second rate. Her child, she doesn't even pay attention to.
Hmm.
And he's going on with his music. And my feeling is, well, good luck to both of them because they miss the most important thing in life, which could have been each other.
But won't a majority of critics say, well, congratulations, you broke the mold. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl again. So this doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen, but I don't care about congratulations, you broke the mold. What I care about is congratulations, you broke the mold and came up with something wonderful.
Musicals for many, many years have been out of style. This film has been doing really very well, quite well, at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
And my sense is that so many films today, and really good ones, they deal with the downside of life. They deal with brutality. They deal with terrorism. They deal with bullying. This film is a musical, and I think it has a lot of very happy, entertaining moments. This is why I think this film is successful. One thing I can tell you is at the Toronto Film Festival, this won the Audience Award as the favorite film screened at the festival, and there are over 400 or so features in Toronto. I understand why this film was chosen. There's something about it that makes people feel good. Despite what Audrey was,
I didn't
was
feel describing. So good.
Yeah, but see, we go at it. We love it. But this is why I think this film has become so popular, even though it's a musical, and even though who goes to musicals anymore?
So those
who
in
makes
the
musicals anymore?
Those in the Academy who are voting are then you say not really jaded, but sort of looking for a feel good. Moment.
Yeah, I would say yes. Plus, you're dealing with high quality here.
Hmm.
That I think that's the bottom line.
All right, let's get back to the phones here. Jeff in Cobleskill, you're on with Rob at Audrey.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Audrey. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi. You betcha.
I loved Moonlight. I watched the bootleg copy, so I think something of the style was lost on me. But my favorite of the year was Little Sister. So I'm going to hang up and see if you guys have a couple thoughts on that one.
All right, Little Sister. Don't all jump at once.
Nope.
No?
I have no comment on it. I do have a comment on watching bootleg copies. I think that's a bad idea. Not only do you not get everything that you should from the film, but it's against the law. I mean, these films cost a lot of money. They have to make back a lot of money. And I have to say, I think it's a very bad idea to watch a bootleg copy.
And I will second that.
All right. Generally, the quality wouldn't be very good anyway, right?
Yeah.
Not usually.
No. All right.
One point I want to make, though, and again, this is politics. The film that won Best Picture a year ago was Spotlight. And you can go back to 1976. The Best Picture was All the President's
right.
Men. These are films that, based on fact films, that spotlight the importance of journalism in a free society. And we're at a time where our new president is at war with journalists and journalism.
And journalists, if you look at the public opinion polls, they're held in fairly low esteem.
Well, the bottom line,
I like journalists.
Yeah. And, if not for journalists, would we have had Watergate? Would the Boston Archdiocese, the abuses, would they have been?
Okay, but let's take this a step further. If the Academy members who voted for Best Film are consistent with last year, then the film that should win this year is Hidden Figures, because Hidden Figures has a lot of underlying morality to it. It has a lot to say about society and politics and equality, and racism.
And that's your favorite of the
very,
year,
very,
right?
Very popular.
Yeah, it is my favorite of the year. So maybe Rob's come onto something here. Maybe if they voted for Spotlight, they'll vote for Hidden Figures.
Interesting.
And put aside this obsession with La La Land.
So you're saying I should do a little side bet on that one?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know, you mentioned Hidden Figures. Now, this brings to mind African Americans. Last year, big controversy, no nominations, no acting nominations of the 20. This year, there are 6 of the 20. 3 of the 9 nominations are basically African American character centric. You have Fences, you have Hidden Figures, you have Moonlight. Okay. Would someone vote for Hidden Figures or Fences or Moonlight based on the color of the skins of the actors who are in this film? Or would they vote for it because they genuinely believe that it is the best film? In my case, it would be Moonlight. I don't care who stars in the film or what the film is about. This film stuck to me, you know? But again, this deals with the issue of, well, gee, do you just want to nominate actors just because of their ethnicity or who are, you know, in an objective sort of way, who deserves the nomination?
Can you be completely objective? You can't be completely. This is art. You can't be completely objective.
What's the matter? There's no objectivity. And there probably, if you broke down the population of membership of the Academy, you might see African Americans voting for African Americans, Jews voting for Jews. Who knows? You know, who knows?
Years ago, if you worked at Warner Brothers, you'd vote for the Warner Brothers.
Right, that's right.
Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg, our guests today. We talked the Oscars, and the number is 800-348-2551. Jason in Amsterdam. Jason, you're on.
Hey, the best movie I've seen this year has the best performance I've ever seen, and that is Isabelle Huppert in Elle. She is the most fearless actress I have ever seen, and Meryl Streep cannot compare. Meryl Streep, she thinks she's so good because she can do all these different accents. She can never pull off what Isabelle Huppert can do, and I really hope she wins.
You said she was courageous. Why is she courageous?
Well, if you see the movie, I mean, she just goes through every emotion, and she's not afraid to tackle racy subjects. I mean, she's, I think, 61, and she's not afraid to get naked. I mean, you know, in this movie, she was raped. Yes. And
literally in many of her films. Now,
you
go back to Isabelle Huppert. She's been making tons and tons of films since the mid-70s. You can go on the Internet Movie Database and see the list of films that she's been in. She's an extraordinary actress, and you're 100% right. She takes on roles that most actresses would never go near. And my sense is that this nomination, which is well-earned, but at the same time, that is, this is the nomination is her prize. You know, I would love to see her win. Yeah.
She should win. You know?
Yeah, I would have no problem if she did win, but you know, not in the year of Emma Stone, as I say. Emma Stone is the hot name.
All right, well, let's do that pick then. You've already both picked La La Land as the one you think will win Best Picture. Let's do actress in a leading role and get your picks.
Okay, well, I think it will be Emma Stone. I would kind of like it to be Natalie Portman. She was the outstanding element in Jackie, that's for sure.
I would agree with that.
So both of you are in agreement on Best Picture and Best Actress. This is a shocking turn of events. All right, how about Best Actor?
Okay. I would love to see Denzel Washington. I would pay to see Denzel Washington read a telephone book. He's extraordinary. That's who I think will win. I should say, but who will win will be Casey Affleck.
Oh my goodness, I agree with you.
Oh my, I better play
this
the numbers.
This won't last.
This is incredible. All right, how about we go for actress in a supporting role?
Viola Davis.
Your favorite your pick?
Yeah, I would say that of the 5, she's up there and she'll win. And a part of it also is an honor for her because she's... recently she's had some really fine roles. She's gotten great reviews, and this will be her reward.
Well, for me, it's a tie between Viola Davis and Octavia Spencer. I wish they could share the award.
Can they share?
I don't know.
Sometimes actors win.
But I'll tell you, the other 3, I don't understand why they're there. Naomi Harris from Moonlight, I really don't see it. Nicole Kidman in Lion, it could have been a made-for-TV movie, her part. It was nothing. And Michelle Williams, I've forgotten, as I said. So, but the other two, Viola and Octavia, are incredible.
So let's pin you down. What's your pick?
Okay, just to be different, I'll say Octavia Spencer.
All right, fair enough. So that's the first one you disagree
let me,
on.
Let me make a point. In the past, you have had ties when it came to acting. I think Barbara Streisand won. I think she was tied with Katharine Hepburn, if I recall correctly. So this does happen. This wouldn't be a precedent.
All right, let's go to Lynn in Springfield. Lynn, you're on.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling about La La Land. I'm really offended by that movie, and this is the reason why. You have the two characters who cannot sing or dance, you know, as real people, but they gave them a month and taught them to sing and dance, you know, and so they make this movie, and it's just the routines and the music is just so boring. And to top it all, the topic, the theme is so worn in American cinema, you know, that it's so boring. And the only thing they did was they upgraded the end so it would have a more 2000 teens ending, you know, where the woman traipses off to get, you know, to discover herself and get a, you know, a career. She chooses her career over everything else. Well, you know, that too has become so tread-worn. I'm just really amazed that this movie would get such plaudits, you know?
Well, you're pretty bitter. You could be on the show next year. That's good.
I'm not bitter. I'm just bored.
I hear you. Well, Lynn, thanks a lot for that. We have to take a break here. 800-348-2551. Sign Lynn up. That's entertainment. But we'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Watercolors by Edith Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Huntsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. edith-huntsberger.artistwebsites.com. Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass, European cuisine infused with flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts, grab life by the knife and fork. vivafreshpasta.com. Bed and Bowl, Huntington, Massachusetts, a home-style bed and breakfast for dogs, offering overnight boarding on a 50-acre farm, convenient to Northampton, Springfield, and the Berkshires, bedandbowl.com. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, a plastic surgeon dedicated to aesthetic cosmetic surgery, fat transfers, facial rejuvenation, laser, and skin care since 1996. A surgeon's hands, a woman's touch, 518-786-1700. Pelham Auto Service, at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, pelhamauto.com. And Claire Pearson, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, for 14 years, offering plant, spirit medicine, and energy clearing for health, body, mind, and spirit, clarepearson.net.
Hi, this is Joe Donahue. I took this assignment very seriously. I have seen all 9 movies nominated for Best Picture for the 89th Annual Academy Awards. 5 of the movies I really liked, but I just wouldn't vote for Best Picture. Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, and Hidden Figures. All fine movies, I just wouldn't vote for them for Best Picture. La La Land, I think, is the movie that perhaps will win. I didn't think it was that great of a musical. The opening number I loved. I did enjoy the film. I just didn't think it was that great of a musical. So for that reason, I wouldn't vote for it. Manchester by the Sea is another movie I really loved up until the ending, and I didn't find the ending to be overly satisfying, so I wouldn't vote for that. Lion is the movie that I really loved. I loved Lion. I loved Dev Patel's performance. I loved Nicole Kidman's performance. Both of those actors are nominated. I really love that movie. I just don't think it can win the Oscar, sort of like the Green Party of movies. So that leaves Moonlight, and I adored Moonlight. It's a beautiful film. It's a special film. It's beautifully shot, wonderfully artistically created, and it tells an important, gorgeous story. So my pick for Best Picture of the 2017 Academy Awards is Moonlight.
Joe Donahue on vacation, really chipping in here. Well done, Joe. I tell you, if we went by a quantitative analysis, I should say, of all our comments, La La Land is going to win on Sunday. Here's an email that came in from Carrie. I'm driving, so here's my comment on La La Land. A wonderful film and welcome to reality. This is more likely what happens in real life. We all have regrets, and a lot of people love this because we at some time or another think, what if? That's from Carrie. This is from Alice. Best musicals make me want to get up and dance, that maybe I actually can tap dance. I'm a lousy dancer. Not with La La Land. I didn't think it was ever going to end. I can't figure out why Hollywood loves it so much. Perhaps it's casting, since neither star can sing or dance. I thought the movie was pure torture. Well, they agrees with our caller, Lynn. And I guess, Audrey, you're not all that crazy either.
Yeah, I'm not quite as negative, but I certainly understand. And I just said to you both during the break that I will not see it a second time.
Even if it's on TV?
Oh, no.
I will.
Wouldn't bother.
I will.
All right, fair enough.
I see life passing me by when I'm watching a bad movie for the second time. That's not
Audrey, you see that even if you're watching it the first time
that's
around.
That's true.
All right, and before we get back to the phones, we still have to pick the best actor in a supporting role.
Okay. This is the one acting category where there's no very clear choice. I would choose Michael Shannon. He's been very busy lately. He's a phenomenal actor.
For Nocturnal Animals.
For Nocturnal Animals. Not much of a film, but he's a wonderful actor. I would choose him. I think the outside shot here would be either Mahershala Ali or Dev Patel. Jeff Bridges, you know, he's won already. He's fine in this film, but I think this is sort of just like, well, we love him. Give him another nomination.
I think it's Dev Patel's year. I think he's going to win.
All right.
Very charming guy.
Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Maria in Woodstock, you're on.
Hey. Thank you. I agree with Lynn on La La Land. If you want to see a good musical, rent a Fred Astaire movie.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. I saw eight of the nine nominees for Best Picture. And the Screen Actors Guild equivalent for Best Picture is Best Cast. And Hidden Figures won. And I was really happy with that. My three favorites are Hidden Figures, Fences, which I thought was Denzel and Viola were extraordinary. And I enjoyed Hell or High Water. So...
Audrey's nodding.
Fences, I agree with you. Fences is really an outstanding film. A wonderful adaptation by August Wilson of his own play. And I think that should get an award for the best adaptation.
Yeah.
It's nominated.
Yeah.
The acting was incredible in that film.
Yeah.
And I was, and the story is not only a strong story for a film, but it's also a lesson that you can be looking at a film about African-American people at another time in another place, and you can be more drawn into their story than 2016 in with a bunch. I'm a white person, so Fences was to me the most humane story.
That's the script, that's the characterizations, that's the acting. Even though these characters are African American, I think, you know, just about anybody should be able to relate to them and their problems and their issues.
Audrey Kupferberg and Rob Edelman are guests today, and we talk Oscars every year at this time, and today's the day. Sunday is Oscar night. Lisa in Woodstock. Lisa, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have a very quick question. I haven't heard either of your guests mention the picture Lion in terms of for Best Picture, and I was just wondering what they thought of that. I thought it was a great movie.
I thought Lion was a very good movie, but it kind of went overboard for me in the first half of the film with that gorgeous, sweet little boy who I was in tears over his dilemma, but it kept going too long for me. I thought the film could have been crafted a little bit differently, but certainly it's a good film.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's deserving of a Best Picture nomination, but to me it's right below everything from Fences to Arrival all the way to Moonlight.
One of the
and La La Land, I will say.
One of the things we always bring up on this program when we do the pre-Oscar show, what's the one picture you each thought should have been in that nomination?
Oh, okay. I would say one of them is Swiss Army Man.
Ah.
That was such a quirky, oddball movie, but one of a kind. With Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano, a person talking to a body for a corpse for
yes.
for most of the film. That was a film I didn't even want to see because of what it was about.
Yeah.
But once I started watching it, I was in awe of it.
Do you think that the subject matter is why it's not in the nomination list?
I keep recommending it to my friends, and they say, well, I'm glad to hear about it, but I'm not going to see it.
Very good. What about you, Rob?
I would say two titles. First, Patterson, which is now playing in theaters. It's Jim Jarmusch. It's really, really a good film. You get to see Adam Driver. You can understand why he is becoming very, very successful as a leading actor. And also a film titled A Monster Calls. It's a very tough film. It's about a 12-year-old boy who's dealing with a lot of issues that 12-year-olds deal with, everything from bullying, etc. But his main issue is the fact that his mother is slowly dying of cancer. Mm. This is why I say it's a tough film, but I really liked it a lot. Those would be the two that would come to mind.
I don't understand, not so much titles as people, I don't understand why Hugh Grant was overlooked for Florence Foster Jenkins.
Did you enjoy that picture?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
For me, it was one of the top films. But his performance in particular was a step forward for Hugh Grant, who... during the 1990s, especially, was kind of typecast.
Sure. Yeah,
you also liked Simon Helberg.
Oh, he was wonderful. To see him in Big Bang Theory, you know, you think you've got the whole of Simon Helberg. Forget it. This man has other dimensions.
Well, look, I would love to see Meryl Streep win for Florence Foster Jenkins because I would love to hear what she has to say. This is where I'm at right now. Everything is political. I think we have to be dealing with this on a lot of different levels. It ain't going to go away. So this is why I'm thinking about Meryl Streep right now.
Mm. Larry and Poughkeepsie, what are you thinking of?
I just need to comment on the idea that Martin Scorsese should retire anytime soon. I just want to point out that in 2011, Hugo, I think from 2011, was easily the second best film in the last 20 years. And from 2013, The Wolf of Wall Street was easily the best film of its year. And I agree that Silence is not one of my favorite films of his, and its content doesn't really lend itself to, you know, the kinetic energy of, you know, the cocaine sequence of Goodfellas. But... I think American cinema needs Mr. Scorsese to keep making films for as long as he is physically capable of doing so. Also, really to Scorsese, I want to point out that a lot of the accolades that La La Land is getting, I think, are because of its structure, which was essentially ripped off from two far superior films, one being The Umbrellas of Cherbourg and the other being a Martin Scorsese film, The Last Temptation of Christ.
Well, that's great. Let's let Rob and Audrey weigh in on that. That's a nice comment, Larry.
Interesting. What is the connection between La La Land and Last Temptation of Christ? I don't
see
it.
Well, the end of both. the central figure has an extended dream sequence of the life that he didn't live.
Very interesting.
And then he's returned to reality.
Yeah. I mean, the Jacques Demy musicals of the 1960s, definitely a connection there.
Larry, thank you for that.
Yeah, very interesting.
800-348-2551. Mike in Syracuse, New York. Mike.
Hi. Actually, I'm en route to Queens listening. And I didn't see all the films, but I did see, my wife and I saw Hidden Figures and Fences. And I thought Viola Davis's performance was outstanding. That one scene where she confronts Denzel Washington about her dream, you know, about his dream, you know, being deferred, and what about her? And the snot is coming out of her nose, nice. And the camera stays on her face. It was absolutely riveting, and I've never seen that in a movie before.
Well, yeah. She
well,
had the
thanks
same.
For that image.
She had the same reaction with the snot coming from the nose.
Thanks again.
In the scene with Meryl Streep from a few years ago.
Right.
What's it called? Doubt? What's it
Doubt,
called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is there a category for best snot scene in a movie?
I don't know, but she'd win for sure. Yeah.
Well, fantastic. I would say of all the nominees, she is the one who is guaranteed to win. That's what I would say.
Before we get to the next one, I'll read this email that came in earlier in the show. Good afternoon. Why does there seem to be such a prejudice against science fiction or fantasy adventure films? With the exception of the Lord of the Rings films in the early 2000s, it always seems like sci-fi movies are never taken seriously by the Oscar community. Many sci-fi adventures are hugely popular, and the actors within them work very hard. Why are they so ignored? That's from Mark.
Well, okay, let's begin with the Best Picture nominee that's at the top of the list.
Arrival.
Arrival.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful film. It's an intelligent, it's a sci-fi film with a lot of intelligence.
But it won't win.
Very, very provocative. I don't think it's going to win, but it has the nomination.
Well, it's not a standard sci-fi film. Yeah. It plays with time in a very unusual way that's very cinematic, very outstanding. But there are certain genres that I agree with you that are avoided by, just overlooked by the Academy. Comedy, really, for most.
Comedy's tough, though.
Yeah.
Comedy's hard.
Comedy is very hard, but it's overlooked often for awards. Somehow, if a film is dramatic, if it's about death, if it's about sadness, you know, disillusionment, then it's a serious film. Then we can take it seriously and give it awards. That's too bad.
It is too bad because life is full of death and disillusionment, and it's nice to have a little escape, don't you think?
Well, I think comedy and I think sci-fi are two very important genres.
Yeah. I mean, you never saw Groucho Marx, Cary Grant, tons of actors getting nominations and wins.
The Ritz
Brothers.
Because
we're talking about comedies, yeah. Let me just paraphrase. I think it was Edmund Gwenn, who actually won an Oscar for playing Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street. On his deathbed, if I could recall correctly, to paraphrase his line, dying is easy, playing comedy is hard.
Is that he's the one who said that?
I believe so.
Oh, I'll be darned.
I believe so.
Santa. Howard in New Paltz. Howard, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
My favorite film that, to me, was art from the very second to the very end was An American in Paris with Gene Kelly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I don't think there's a musical that can compare with that movie at all.
Well, they're different. You know, the musical is a genre, but within the genre of musicals, there are different subgenres, and you can't compare them.
Could you even make that movie today and have it go over?
Possibly, yes. Possibly you could, because it's so outstanding. It's such an art, a work of art,
as our
caller says.
If you had Beyonce in it, that would work.
Well, it's more artful than Beyonce. And now, don't
step on me. Here we go. Well, now the show's almost over, but you can email.
But it's more artful than Beyonce.
I will say one thing about American in
Paris. And I saw the Grammys.
When in my genres class, when I deal with musicals, which is 1 week, I show the final, it's a 20-minute long sequence from An American in Paris, where you have Gene Kelly, beautifully designed, incredible color. You have Gene Kelly dancing a number of dance styles with Leslie Caron and lots of supporting dancers. It's a wonderful sequence. I think, to me, this is the epitome of fine art in a Hollywood film.
Well, Audrey and Rob, this has been so much fun. You're going to have a big party, as usual, on Sunday, get out the onion dip and whatnot?
No, we're just going to be quiet and seriously take in these Oscars.
Now, when do the fistfights break out? About halfway through the show?
After we stop talking to one another.
I like it.
Like I say, what hits me, I'm going to watch, and I don't really care that much who wins, because whoever wins Tuesday, it'll be forgotten. I want to see what people are going to say about the state of the world.
Well, it has been so great having you here. It was a fun show, and want to thank Ian and Sarah LeDuc for putting together those montages. Support comes from George Heigel Antiques, Boston Spa, New York, offering estate sale services, including management, appraisals, and evaluations for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. The New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, celebrating over 35 years serving the public, 800-342-3661. Dance Flurry, presenting Albany Shindig this Friday, 7 p.m. at First Congregational Church, Albany, a roots concert and community dancing with live fiddle music, danceflurry.org. And Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts, locally sourced comfort food, beers, wines, and spirits, live music weekends, chestercommontable.com. Thanks again to Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg for being here. Thanks to you for listening and for the great comments and phone calls we had today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our director at the board. Carol Lapani took the calls. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis. Thanks again to Sarah LeDuc and Ian Pickus for the production help. Tomorrow, it's a science forum. Stand by now for news.